Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Elodie Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today's Tuesday. Should I do it, Al? October 31st, 2017. Or would you like to do it?
Nope. Not me, Melody. I'm too old for that sort of thing.
You don't even know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do. Whatever it is, I'm too mature for that. Well, you're up to something. I don't know what it is, and it's not April Fool's. I know that.
You said I'm not mature?
Well,
Alfred?
You don't act mature. I act mature.
You act.
I act mature.
I'm still young at heart.
Mm-hmm.
I'm young at heart.
Uh-huh.
So. But it is Halloween. And, you know, I was just reading a little bit about Halloween earlier today, and, you know, it's funny how you can get two different stories on where, you know, where it's from, you know, whether one is a, you know, it is the pagan holiday, and then the other one was actually a Christian holiday. And it's just like, you know, no wonder people are confused. You know? I mean, I'm not.
The difference does it make as long as you get a lot of candy?
As long as you get candy, yeah.
Right. We don't have to worry about the details.
Yeah. So, fake news. Fake news at its best. You know.
They're messing with my candy supply, Melody. That's unforgivable. They've been doing it all my life.
Well. Well, I'll tell you. And,
It's like being a rich person and looking for a governmental subsidy.
You know what?
Telling it, no, you can't have it. That's
you know what? I can remember when we were little kids and we did trick-or-treating and things like that. And then all of a sudden you had needles and pins and showing up in candy. And now you have drugs. There's been reports already that, you know, there's been drugs found in some of the candy. And, you know, I'm thinking, how sick are we as people? I mean, what is wrong with these people? I mean, good grief. And, you know, it certainly has changed over the years to, you know, but anyway, we didn't.
Well, it has something to do with the little monsters, Melody.
The little monsters?
Yeah.
I mean, are there people?
Nobody was poisoning the candy when I was a kid because we were good kids, or at least I thought we were, you know. But today's children are different.
They're not smart enough
not to get caught. See, we were smart enough not to get caught. So we were like, oh, they're good kids. Don't poison their candy. Now, a little different story, Melody. People are concerned.
Well, you know what it is? Just all part of, you know, where we are. You know, you talk about morality. I talk about, you know, we no longer have God in our lives and there's no accountability to anyone. And it's, you know, here we are today. People are, you know, there's a lot of evil people out there. And
a lot of frightened people out there, too. You know, I haven't met many people in my life that I would regard as truly evil, but I've met a lot of people who are so scared that they will do bad things in order to just try to gain an inch or a foot, all right, make a little bit of progress, and if they have to cut somebody else, they'll do it. But it's not because they're bad, per se, but it is because they're afraid, or at least that's been my observation. Only rarely have I seen anybody that struck me as truly evil. I've seen a bunch of people are trouble, but they, again, to me, more fear than evil.
Yeah, but doesn't one or the other would evil would?
Oh, there's the close relationship. I mean, your fear is inversely proportional to your faith. If you have really solid faith, what do you have to fear?
Yeah, nothing.
I don't care if they cut my head off. I mean, if my faith is strong enough, it's no big deal.
Yep.
Okay? On the other hand, if you have no faith, you are almost condemned to a world of paranoia and fear. Where, oh, my God, what are they going to do to me next? You have to live with a level of fear. Without faith, you have great fear. And it's a sliding scale. You know, it's not absolute. Nobody has absolutely perfect faith, or at least if they do, not very many people have perfect faith. We all have a little bit of fear. Some of us have no faith, and that means a lot of fear. It's a sliding scale, but they're inversely proportional.
My
fear. So the relationship
fear,
between fear and wickedness is there, but But there's a difference.
My fear is not having enough faith. You know, having a fear of God and having a little bit is healthy. So.
I know. It's the beginning of all wisdom. The Bible says it's the beginning of all wisdom, fearing the Lord.
Yep, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And and you know, there's just reports after reports just how much of a falling away that we're actually truly having. I mean, I read a report not too long ago where as far as the Democrats, I mean, what, 40% of the Democratic politicians, 40% consider themselves to have no faith. I mean, that's an incredible number.
I know.
An incredible number.
And it really goes to a division in this country.
Absolutely.
It's growing. You know, it used to be you had people that were atheists who were in both political parties, and you might have had more in one party than in another. But just the same, most people agreed from both parties that still that Christianity was the foundation. Today, that's not apparent. And this difference in religious perspective and this polarity, this is going to bite us.
Oh,
time is going to come when there is going to, it will fuel, it might not be a cause per se, but it will definitely fuel antagonisms between the two sides.
Well, gold today, we have a little pressure on gold, 1271 on gold, down 560. Silver was down a couple pennies today, 14 at $16.79. Both platinum and palladium traded higher today, platinum by one at 923 and palladium by 18 at $985. The USDX today was up 0.05 at 94.55, and crude oil keeps climbing up 0.28 at 54.43. And the paper markets today, I'll flip a coin out. What do you think they up or down?
Oh, I'm markets, looking. So I'm looking, Melody.
The Dow is up. The Dow is up. I could read these numbers without looking anymore. Oh, they're up today.
You can't necessarily read the number, but you can read the trend. You can read the trend. Let me get my crystal ball, and I will give you the trend.
I will predict
the trend for tomorrow, Melody, a future prediction.
Well, the Dow is up 28 points today at 23,377. The NASDAQ was up also 28 points at 6,727. And the NASDAQ was up too at 2,575. 10-year yield was up 0.01 at 2.38%. Euro was trading weaker, 116. European and Asian markets, you know, very little change in those numbers too. So I don't know what they're waiting for, but the markets seem to be waiting for something. And tomorrow, you know, big numbers out today, big reports out today. You have consumer confidence, highest level in almost 17 years. U.S. manufacturing is powering up. Not from a lot of the reports that I've seen, but hey, that's what they want to tell us, so we'll go with it for today. Home price gains in 20 U.S. cities showed acceleration. I think this country has more than 20 cities, doesn't it, Al?
Yeah, I'll bet it does, because that only works. That leaves 30 states with none. We have no cities in 30 of our states if there's only 20 cities.
So, you know, that headline is, so those are mainly the headlines.
Maybe the North Koreans stole 30 of our cities. Or it could have been the rapture too, Melody.
Maybe.
They got them all and,
oh, no, it can't be that because that means you and I are here. Bank of Japan keeps stimulus unchanged. You know, and that's just what, so, if there wasn't so much at stake, you know, I mean, this would be just, I mean, everybody's just talking how great everything is. Yeah, you have European Union, they're pumping trillions of dollars into their system just to get, you know, just to keep going. China's pumping into their system. Bank of Japan pumping into their system just to, and everybody's cheering. Oh, the economies are so great. The stock markets are just fantastic. And you know, and it truly is, Doesn't anybody question? Doesn't anybody other than us ponder the question? What happens when those faucets are just not shut off, but just tweaked a little bit to see what happens? I mean, it's just, it truly is amazing. I mean, we've seen bubbles before, but but this is an incredible bubble. I mean, this is huge. It's
global.
And it's just global. I mean, it's just, I mean, when this thing goes, as all bubbles do, I mean, it's going to be astonishing. It's going to be, I think things will happen that we can't even ponder will happen. And
that's probably true, because anyone who looks at this closely will admit we are in what people routinely refer to as uncharted territory, which means we don't know what's going to happen.
You don't have.
And it's not just you and I who don't know.
It's
Janet Yellen does.
Janet Yellen does.
Donald Trump. I don't know what's going to happen. You know, I mean, he's sitting there. I don't know. Who knows what's going to happen? We are off in a strange, and all the system can seem to do right now is just try to keep on doing whatever they've been doing up until now, because so far it seems like it's working, and by working,
it's
preventing the inevitable.
Yes.
It's postponing the inevitable. We can buy another day, another week, another month, another year.
Hey, but Al, things are so great. Things are so great. U.S. consumer spending, recorded its biggest increase in more than 8 years in September. Of course, they're saying maybe it's likely because of the households in Texas. They had to replace their vehicles and everything else. But they had to dip into their savings to fund purchases, pushing the savings level to the lowest level since 2008. And you still have the backdrop of slow wage growth. You have a drop in savings. So it's how does anybody think this is sustainable? And
I don't know what's going on, but you know, one of the things that does bother me a little bit, they have consumer sentiment highest level in the last 17 years or something. Isn't that what you were saying?
Yeah.
I don't know why anyone would be. If you're going to take a survey of consumer sentiment, you ought to also take a survey of producer sentiment, because I'll bet they're not the same. And if I had to bet my future on whether I followed consumer sentiment or I followed producer sentiment, I'd be looking at the producers, the people who actually work for a living, the actual who make more than they consume. Those are the people who probably have a clue to what's going on. The consumers really aren't all that bright. I mean, all you need to be a consumer is a pulse. You don't even need brain waves. All right? They can lay you down on a bed in a coma, but they still have to feed you, and as long as they do, you're a consumer. Be a producer, it actually takes effort and intelligence, maybe blessing, dumb luck. But to make more, to produce more than you actually need, all right? And therefore generate savings which are available to be appropriated by the government or the poor or the rich. But it's the producer sentiment, to my mind, that should be referred to when you're going to try to figure out what's happening. What's going on in this country? What are the producers think?
What are you thinking? Are you trying to be logical here or something?
That's a problem I have.
You know,
I've been working
how silly
on it for
of
some
you!
Time.
How silly of you!
I don't get enough TV, Melody.
That doesn't support their agenda. So you know, it's and you know what? Really, it's all based on the stock market prices. I mean, they could be living on the street, but I'll tell you what: if those stock market prices were high and they were able to understand, you know, in Times Square, where it shows the stock market prices and everything, if they can read that, they'd probably say, yeah, everything's great and things are looking up.
There's a certain amount of truth in what you're saying, I think, because
I know.
People look at the stock market, and even though my circumstances may not be particularly profitable, prosperous, and the rest of that sort of thing, I look at the stock market and I say to myself, well, that's just just a problem for me. All right, but the country in general is doing well, and I know it is because I look at the Dow Jones, and it's at record level highs. We kind of forget about ourselves when we look at the stock market. We think that's telling us what everybody else is doing. And if everybody else is succeeding and prosperous, then it means it's only a question of time before I will too. But if we only look at our personal circumstance, that's another story. That can push you into a situation where you say, oh my God, the world is coming to an end. How do you know? Well, I'm in a lot of trouble. We exaggerate either way, but what I'm just trying to get to is it gives us an impression about the whole country. The stock market indices give us an impression about the whole country. And as long as the whole country is doing well, then we must be. Then if we're not, it's only a question of time before we will be.
Stock market is all that matters. I mean, you hear everyone screaming, look at the stock market prices. Oh, everything is great. Well, no. But again, we're heading in. You know, I mean, it's just, it's the like Groundhog Day. Remember the movie with whatever his name is, Bill somebody, and he keeps reliving the same day after. And Bill Murray.
Yeah.
Bill Murray, Groundhog Day. It's the same thing every year, third quarter, going into the holidays. Everything's great. Got to pump these people up so they go out and spend their money for Christmas. Go buy all the stuff from China and the trinkets and buy more than what you really have. Go use those charge cards and,
yep, go,
and
into debt.
Go into debt. And keep going. Christmas is here, so, you know.
Tis the season to be indebted.
Put the guilt trip on people. Make sure you buy everyone gifts.
I mean, if you really want to give them a gift that keeps on giving, buy another garage to store all your junk in. All right? Your own garage is already stuffed full of all the toys you bought the kids. You don't have a place to park your car. So buy a new garage where you can store more stuff. Then you can go deeper into debt to fill up your new garage. It's going to be like time capsules. When they find this country 1,000 years from now, they dig it up and say, oh my gosh.
You know,
all the stuff they had in these spare rooms, you know.
Yeah, and that's what, Wall Street's strong October suggests. Happy holidays ahead and beyond. So again,
hope it's going to happen, but when you look at it, it's very hard to see reason to support that opinion. It's not a question of saying, gee, I hope everything blows up in everybody's face, but it is a question of saying, gee, I hope people are forced to face reality one of these days. I mean, just to see what it's like. Let's try it. For a week, we'll face reality. What about that? We're going to take a break for some commercials. Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. truthandtalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188.
Well, you know what? You know, it is true. We talk about negative things about the economy and so forth, which I do believe it's the truth. I don't believe that this country is in great shape. I understand what happens when you have a fiat currency. I understand how that allows the government to grow and their power. And I get where we're at today. It allows them to go into debt. It allows them to, you know, create the monster that they have created. We are not in a good place. However, even if we were in a great economy, gold is still very important. Gold will never be unrecognized will always be recognized as a monetary metal. Gold performs very well. Your numismatic coins, your true numismatic coins, not the semi-numismatic coins, they have the tendency to do better in a fear-driven market. But your true collector coins, they do fantastic in great
economies.
Okay,
when you say true collector coins,
true collector,
you're talking about a mint state of what level and above?
Well, there's no specific level and above.
Yeah,
it relies on
the
rarity. They're more rare.
I understand.
You know, one of a kind.
Talking about an MS-62. That's not a true collectible coin.
It's a semi-numismatic.
All right, semi-numismatic.
When I think of a true collectible coin, I think of one of a kind, or two. You know, where there's only five of them known to be certified. Something that's a coin. One coin could cost you $10,000 or $20,000, or like the coin we sold, a $250,000 coin. I mean, those are true collectible coins and do very well during grading, and usually when stock markets are high, because people take their money and they invest in gold. They invest in collections, true collections, you know, where dates matter and conditions matter and one of a kind matter. The history, sometimes just the history. You can get some really sexy histories on a coin, and that propels people to spend, you know, $15,000 or more for a coin. And so those are coins that will usually your millionaires, your Michael Jordans of the world, the Donald Trumps of the world, they have collections, you know, of rare coins. Mm-hmm. And they usually do very well in a great economy. We use the semi-numismatics, the lower end of the scale of the numismatics, because you get the same benefits as the rare coins. And, you know, because our idea is we still want to collect as many ounces of gold as possible for our dollars. I have clients who will come to me and they say, you know, I have $50,000 to spend, but I don't want, you know, I don't want 30 coins. I just want one or two, because they don't want the storage. They, you know, they want the value all in one coin or two coins. And, you know, so we go on the hunt and find a good coin that has some good value to it, and they're not overpaying for something that has already run up into the market. So, but the lower grades will have a tendency to perform better in a fear-driven market, because people are pulling out of the stock market. They don't want to buy bonds. There's a percentage of people that still understand gold and want gold. Everybody will go to gold. And with the lack of availability, the premiums skyrocket, and they really truly are a forward-looking indicator.
You're talking about the collectibles, collectibles.
Mm-hmm.
I would agree with you, and suppose I would speculate that the true collectibles are ultimately built on a kind of optimism. They expect the world to get better, although they're prepared to wait 5 or 10 years for it to happen. They're going to put it in a little box, they're going to store it, and maybe the grandkids are going to get it, but it's going to be a worth of fortune 5, 10, 20 years from now, and they're taking a longer view. They're optimistic about it, where the fear-driven, the lower grades are driven by fear. They're not immediately optimistic. They're more fearful.
When you're buying a rare coin, you want to park some money and you're interested in coins, price really doesn't matter, whether it goes up 10 years from now or whatever, because you truly are buying the coin. You're holding something of real value. It's just like anything else when you purchase. Yeah, you hope the price goes up, but that's really not the motivator. When you buy a rare piece of collector glass or an artwork, you know, you're buying it for the artist, you're buying it for the collector value, and you really not so much, you know, I don't care if the price goes up in 5 years, because it's really not the price. It's more of ownership. It's a different, there's different reasons why you buy those rare coins. Now, the problem is you had a lot of dealers since the 90s that sold a lot of those rare coins to people who really shouldn't have owned them. They weren't looking for true collector coins, but they were sold to them. And that's how the numismatic coins got such a bad reputation. It wasn't the coins. It was the dealers that were selling the coins. They were selling the wrong coin to the people for a different objective, that had a different objective. And so then you get someone, oh, they're terrible coins. No, they're not. If you buy for what's suitable for you and what your investment and objective is in purchasing these coins, you're not going to get hurt. But that wasn't the case with so many of these, high-powered, the ones you see advertised on television and everything else, that they sell the wrong coins to the wrong people. Just like those 1.5 ounce silver coins that they're selling now. I mean, those are basically a ripoff, true ripoff. And I mean, you can double your number of ounces if you just bought regular rounds, silver rounds, because that's all you're going to get when you go to sell back those 1.5 ounce coins, silver.
If you even can, and what I mean by that is, how many people know about 1.5 ounce coins?
Well,
I would say people who know anything about coins expect them. All right, to be 1 ounce. There's also 1/2 ounce and 1/4 ounce and the rest of it. But a 1.5 ounce coin, there's a certain amount of skepticism that's built into that. I don't see that it's an advantage when it comes time to sell. You're going to take that to the average person. He's going to say, 1.5 inches? I never heard of an inch and a half. Excuse me, 1.5 ounces? Never heard of an 1.5 ounce coin. I'm not going to buy that. You're going to have a harder time disposing of that than you would with a coin that's sized conventionally.
Well, that might be, but the whole idea when you buy gold and silver, you buy it, and when you're ready to liquidate, you really don't want to sell it to a person. You want to sell it into the market, and the market will recognize it, but we'll recognize it for what it is.
You mean you want to auction the coin? Is that what you're saying?
No, anybody can sell anything back into the market, and I'm going to recognize it for 1.5 ounces of silver. For what it really is, it's not a commemorative as they sell it. They sell it as a commemorative. It's not. It's 1 ounce of silver. But it's the way they're marketing it that's wrong. And when you sell it back into, when I sell things back into the market, they just recognize it as 1.5 ounces of silver. It has no commemorative value to it at all. Just like there's people who sell the Mint State 70
model. You're saying it's just a bullion coin.
It's just a bullion coin. Just like when they sell the Mint State 70 1 ounce American Gold Eagles, they're slabbed. You're just wasting your money on those. Because when you sell it back into the market, you're pretty much just going to get the regular price of what a 1 ounce gold eagle coin is. In fact, sometimes we'll use those Mint State 70 gold eagles just to fill orders if we're short regular bullion gold eagles. So there's no extra additional value that you get from it. Mainly you're paying dealer costs along with having it certified.
But so, let me ask you this. If you are going to purchase one of those slabbed, encased in a plastic container, essentially, gold coin, MS-70, Does that mean, does that imply that, let's say, 10 years, 20 years from now, that coin that was slabbed when it came right out of the mint, and it doesn't have any defects on it, it's been protected by a concrete, a plastic container, is this going to be more valuable than the regular bullion coin that's perhaps been kicked around a little bit? I mean, there's no difference now in price, but would there be a difference in price 10 years, 20 years from now?
Probably not. Now, and you said something that was very key, a coin that's been kicked around a little bit. People are supposed to protect their coins. You shouldn't be getting them out and touching them and getting them scratched up. And yeah, if you damage it, yeah, you're going to see a decreased value compared to something that's slabbed. But if it's in the same pristine condition as that one that's slabbed, no, it's a gold eagle that's slabbed. And that's the only difference. There's no rarity to it. 120 years from now, maybe. I mean, it's not like the coins are being circulated like the pre-33 coins were. They were circulated. They were used as money. So there was a difference between one that's slabbed and is indicated as a uncirculated versus one that's in an extra fine condition. Those were circulated. So when you find one that's uncirculated and slabbed, yeah, it means something. But in the modern issue, bullion coins, no, it doesn't mean. Not today, probably not 30 years, 120. Well, if we begin to circulate gold eagles again, then maybe it'll make a difference. If for some reason they're recalled, maybe if they're recalled and melted down, and the only ones that are not melted down are the ones that are slabbed, that, you know, then it would make a difference. So, I mean, I could create circumstances where it might make a difference, but based on all things being equal today, no, there's not going to be any difference. It's not like there's a limited supply of them.
Well, there is so. Within the year. Within the year, assuming that makes a difference anytime soon. But there are only so many that will be minted in 2017, and there will only be so many that are minted in 2018.
Yeah, but again, we're not
limited number. But it's not a small limited number. It's
well, no, but again, you have to, you know, diversify. They're not being circulated. They're being sold, but they're not being circulated. So as long as those coins are kept in BU condition when people own them, and I buy back a lot of coins, and I'll tell you what, some of them are beautiful when I receive them, and some of them not so much. So always keep your coins in the best condition as possible. You buy them, and you put them away in your safe, and you know, you forget that you have them. And you keep them in good condition. And that's why sometimes when I receive packages, when people ship me product, I mean, coins are rattling around in the box, you know, banging up against one another. Silver's the same way. No, keep them in the container. Make sure they don't rattle up against one another, because gold is soft. It's very easy to scratch your gold coins, particularly if you own Canadian maple leaves. It's very soft. Very easy to damage. So, again, just keep them in good condition. Protect them.
You mentioned the Canadian maple leaf. And you do have to give them credit. I mean, just looking at them, they are, I don't know if it's double-striked or whatever, but they certainly are more highly polished than the gold eagles. And I don't know that polished is the correct term, but I think you understand what I'm saying. The appearance is brighter, shinier.
Well, you know, I think the maple leaf that they do in the back of the coin is absolutely beautiful. And they really did a fine job on the design of that maple leaf. But they say the American Gold Eagle, that the St. Gaudens, which is, you know, tendered after the St. Gaudens, the American Gold Eagle is tendered after the St. Gaudens coin. People say that is the most beautiful design on a coin ever. So, yeah. Personally, I'm still fond of the $10 Indian. Mm-hmm. To me, I think that is the most beautiful design because it's so simple, and the coloring that you get from the way they, you know, have minted it. I think it's just beautiful. But that's my opinion, and I'm sticking to it. But yeah, I love the $10 Indians. So
I got an article here from Newsweek, and it just kind of, the headline amuses me. It says, if the Trump White House doesn't do something, Venezuela will collapse. All right? The authoritarian regime in Venezuela has managed to buy time by rigging elections and avoiding default on its massive foreign debt. However, Caracas's decision to allocate $2 billion in hard currency to bondholders rather than food imports may prove to be a fatal, particularly if the regime led by Nicolas Maduro faces another round of international sanctions or street protests by desperate, hungry people. In other words, Venezuela is going to spend money paying its debt rather than buying food for its people. And the headline, this is from Newsweek, and the headline says, if Trump doesn't do something, Venezuela will collapse. Well, okay.
We put sanctions on them. Does that count?
Well, that's what they perhaps mean by this, is we need to remove the sanctions. The article goes on and says the Trump administration's targeted sanctions have taken a toll on the regime and its corrupt leaders. And the U.S. president has pressed regional and European partners to back an urgent democratic transition. All right. This implies that the United States has been leaning on Venezuela. And the question is, to what extent are we responsible for the Venezuelan problem? And the answer is, to some degree, we are. But is the problem due to the United States government meddling by imposing sanctions on Venezuela? Is the problem due to Venezuela having embraced a collectivist political system, communism, socialism? Which is the cause for Venezuela's problem? And the headline just, I don't know, just interests me, it amuses me. If Trump White House doesn't do something, Venezuela will collapse. Well, we probably never had any business meddling in their affairs to begin with. I'm not sure you can debate that one way or the other, but I do not see the idea that we are responsible for paying. Look, if Venezuela's got a problem, Venezuela's going to have to work its way out of the problem. We cannot pick up everybody who's got a boo-boo anywhere in the world. And the headline just, it strikes me as an exaggeration. If Trump doesn't do something, the White House doesn't do something, Venezuela will collapse. Well, all right, so what? If I don't do something, they're going to collapse. So what? Not my problem. Let's take a break. A couple of commercials. Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned. Won't you lay it on the line? One more time. Oh, won't you tell me again? Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again tonight? Each and every heart is
food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
Are we done talking about Venezuela?
Yeah, for now. It'll come back. It'll be back. It's like Halley's Comets, like a lot of these.
Well, you know, they have sold a lot of their gold in order to pay some of their debt. And I think they still have, I think they have enough gold.
Wasn't that
left to sell?
You know, when we talk about the government meddling in Venezuela's affairs, it crosses my mind that maybe it wasn't so much meddling as just being vengeful. Wasn't Venezuela the first country to demand that it get its gold out of the that the U.S. was holding on its behalf?
Well, I know they had to sell it. I don't know if that was part of it.
I believe it was Venezuela that pulled its gold out of the Federal Reserve Bank in New York City and whatever. And then later on, Germany tried to get its gold and they had a problem. Venezuela was the first one to get in the door and get their gold and protect it. And in doing so, they kind of set off. Germany did that. A couple other countries may have done it. I don't remember clearly. But I wonder if there are people in Washington that hold a grudge over that. I say those darn Venezuelans.
They had a perfect racket
going here, and then they demanded to actually get their gold back.
Well, they did do that. I think that was back in 2011.
Yeah, it's been a while.
And they wanted to get it back. And but really, Venezuela's trouble, that was Chavez. But really, their trouble really began when oil prices began to drop.
Yeah,
significantly. So, I don't think they would have targeted Venezuela with the drop of oil.
I don't think it was out of
with the drop of
still
oil.
Still, one of those things.
With the drop of oil.
The drop of oil is what did it. And beyond that, what did it was they had apparently set up an economy where they would pump the oil out of the ground and they'd give the money to all the people. Now, on the one hand, that sounds like a great idea. If we had a bunch of oil in this country, why not? We could all live large. We'd get a cut. I'd get part of the oil revenue. You'd get part of the oil. Everybody gets some sort of a subsidy because we're pumping a bunch of oil. But there's a problem with these subsidies. It seems like good times are here. We're getting a free ride. You don't even have to work. You're living off the oil revenue that's just pumping it out of the ground. It's like having a money tree. But then you lose your capacity to work. And you forget what it means to work. And if there's ever a disruption in the oil supply and somebody prunes your money tree and you can't, what? I don't get any more free money? People are in a lot of trouble. I think it's one of the great dangers in taking money from the government. And I'm sure most people would disagree with me and say, look, if the money's there, get it. You know, you're crazy not to take it. Well, probably, maybe so, but I'm still saying, from my perspective, there's a danger in becoming habitualized, institutionalized. It's like going to prison and finding yourself so comfortable in prison that you don't want to get out. You've been institutionalized. It's the same thing with welfare. It's the same thing with subsidies. So I don't want to work for a living. I want money from the government. I think it's dangerous. There's going to be a time when people are going to have to go back to working for a living. Both the poor who are on welfare and the rich who are on subsidies. And none of them are going to like it. They're all going to scream and shout and say this is unfair, unjust, uncaring, immoral, uncompassionate, if there is such a word. Is there a word incompassionate, uncompassionate? I don't know.
Well, you know, during the break, you and I mentioned that there was some sort of a situation in New York City. They increased the death toll from 2 to 6. It was up to 6 people have been killed in Lower Manhattan truck started ramming into victims on a bike path. Then he was shot, and he is in custody. But then when he got out of the truck, he pulled two guns, and he's just started shooting people. And so there's no comment what that was about. Actually, I see a picture of the truck. It almost looks like a Home Depot little pickup truck. There's some kind of advertisements on it or something, but not sure if that is. I'm not sure if it is a Home Depot. It's some kind of a commercial pickup truck type thing. And it was close to a school. Six dead, 15 injured.
Well, you know what that means, Melody. We're going to have to outlaw trucks.
Well, he
That's what we should have congressmen starting a bill. I have a bill right now. We're going to outlaw trucks.
Well,
guns. That's right. It's going to be guns that need to be outlawed, not trucks.
But still, no reason for it. They don't even. They actually questioned whether it was just road rage or something. So, I'm thinking if road rage. Started mowing down the pedestrians on a bike path. If he did that because of road rage.
And maybe we have to get outlaw bicycles. I'm sure we'll have congressmen and senators that are going to stand up and protect the people from the dangers of bicycles and or trucks and or guns.
Well, you know what, Al? What I have a problem with that, it just goes to show you. I mean, how sick are the people in this country?
Some of them. We got 320
grief.
Million people in this country, and we get one lunatic. Today in New York City. We could have a lunatic like that every day of the year, and it's really not statistically significant. The media makes a big deal out. Oh my gosh, somebody's done something. I would imagine that if you did a really thorough analysis of how many people got shot and killed 100 years ago. Or run over by some guy riding a horse and buggy, right? I bet that statistically we were as violent then, and maybe even more violent than we are right now. I look at it. We got 319,999,999,999,999 didn't shoot anybody.
What?
Oh. Well, what I'm trying to say is the vast majority.
But you know what? I agree. But yet, some of these are just so random. I mean, it's just like, you know, go off.
It always has been.
But you know what? They don't talk in the headline. You never hear the headlines on what happens to little babies and what people do. There was one thing where a woman put her babies in an oven or something. It's just like, no, that is... that doesn't get front page.
Yeah, she did that. Well, that doesn't she got some press on it.
But I mean, that's just one out of how many.
She called her husband. Apparently they were separating or divorcing or something.
I don't even want to hear this story.
She called him to let him watch over the cell phone as the children died in the oven.
I don't even want to hear that, Al.
Well, that's my understanding of the story. It was just an act of she was just the woman was vindictive against her husband. She was angry that he left. I don't know. I'd have to say if a man leaves a woman who is prepared to bake her own children in an oven, I think it's a terrible thing that the children died, but I can kind of understand why the husband left.
Well, I think you're that saying that like before you know all the...
Well, I am. Of course I am, but what happened here? Nobody's alleging that robbed or poisoned. She killed two of her own children, apparently, just to get even, just to spite her husband. I mean, what do you say? That's not, you know, I want a girl just like the girl that married dear old dad. I don't want a girl like that girl.
Right? Why didn't he take the baby?
Dear old dad, but I don't want
If he knew she was in that condition, why wouldn't... Well, you're saying he left because of that.
I'm saying he left because she was a stone biatch. All right? I'm saying she was as much trouble as a man can put up with. Perhaps. I don't know. I don't care what happens. I don't care if that guy is evil incarnate, and she was absolutely justified in dumping him. She is not justified in murdering her own children.
Absolutely not.
This can't be justified. There's something wrong with this woman. I'm not saying that the husband's perfect, but I'm saying there is something wrong with this woman. And I can understand that. I can speculate that the husband is living with her and say, look, I got to get out of here. I can't deal with this. He could not imagine that she was going to kill the kids. As much trouble as she might be, he could not imagine that was going to happen. He might have even been in a situation where she's threatening to kill the kids. He said, look, the only way I can save them is leave the house, and then she won't. She's, if I'm not around, she won't threaten the kids. I don't know what happened there, right? But what, and you can't know on one level. I mean, this is obviously evidence of insanity or wickedness. It's not evidence of reasonable, rational thought. And so, what do you do? We have these stories. They've been coming since time began. This isn't, on one level, isn't a new thing. You know, primitive people did violent things. Civilized people do violent things. We are not immune from flipping out. And so we get these problems. We get these news stories once in a while. And from my perspective, yep, terrible thing. But in the greater scheme of things, you know, it was one out of 320 million. So, you know, you can look at this, you know, is the glass half empty or is it half full? I don't know. Here's something from sovereignman.com. He said there's been, a headline is, there's been an extremely rapid uptick in the U.S. national debt. In the month of October alone, U.S. national debt has soared by nearly a quarter of $1 trillion. Yet despite being flush with $190 billion in tax revenue in October, the U.S. government still managed to pile up almost a quarter of $1 trillion more on top of its already enormous amount of debt. The government of the largest, most important economy in the world is completely, woefully bankrupt, and the rate of decline is accelerating. Now, we've said the same thing for a long time on this program, but the reason I'm bringing this to people's attention again is it, from my perspective, it supports some speculation, a hypothesis I've advanced for maybe 6 weeks now, off and on. I think the debt-based monetary system doesn't just give us an opportunity to go deeper into debt. I think it gives us a requirement to go deeper into debt. I have a hunch, and I don't have evidence to support the speculation, that I could be wrong, and perhaps I probably am wrong, but I'm still saying it walks like a duck, it quacks like a duck. I think maybe this is a duck. I think they have to go deeper into debt. And here's, again, we've $250 billion in the month of October, and that's after, it's a big month, $190 billion in tax revenue, and they still want $250 million into debt. If they were to continue that, it would wind up being something like, what, 12, something like $3 trillion a year more debt, if that average continued. It would be more debt than we had under Obama, and Obama was more debt than we had under Bush, and so on. I have a hunch that they have to go deeper into debt. And it's part of the reason, even, again, the Republicans say, oh, vote us in. It's the Democrats want to just spend, and go deeper into debt. But we're the Republicans. We're fiscally responsible. But you vote them into office, and what do? They go deeper into debt. And you have to ask yourself eventually, is this just an accident? Is this evidence of human weakness? Is it because the Republicans are afraid that if they cut off the benefits spigot, they'll have riots or people won't vote them into office, you know, in the next election? Is that what we're dealing with? Or do the people at the top understand that the debt-based monetary system depends on having ever more debt injected into the system? And when I say more, it's almost as if it has to double from each administration. Right? However much debt we had under Bush, we had to double it under Obama, and maybe we have to double it again. I'm not saying that doubling is necessarily the required ratio. I'm just saying I'm something to think about, something to look at and contemplate. Are the debts an accident, or are they definitely required. The article continues. It lists some of the problems with the debt. It said Congress could literally cut almost everything, all of the benefits that they're providing, everything that we think of as government, and they'd still lose hundreds of billions of dollars each year when we get done paying for Social Security, Medicare, interest on the debt, national defense, and so on. Rising taxes won't stop the problem. The cost is, this is a cost problem. The government simply spends too much on programs it cannot afford. The only realistic way out is for government to eventually capitulate and default, and that's one of the things we effectively warn you about on this program on a regular basis. The debt can't be paid. That means one of these days, I mean, this is, I don't know when, but one of these days, the government's going to have to come forward with either massive inflation or just overt repudiation and say, folks, sorry, we can't pay the debts. Too bad. You know, you guys lose. Your money's gone. Your wealth is gone. For those of you that invested in bonds and perhaps all paper debt instruments or most paper debt instruments, you're going to suffer a loss. The debt can't be paid. It's too big to be paid. This is one of the fundamentals we talk about on the program. We try to communicate this to people. It gives you, you know, it's like saying there's a hole in the side of the ship. Yes, the ship is still floating. Yes, the ship is still moving forward, but there is a hole in the ship. And high probability it's going to sink. Govern yourselves accordingly. We're out of time. I want to thank all of you for listening. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.